salary caps in pro sports creating mediocrity? Could a European soccer model that uses relegation be better? This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton goes full in on the free market approach on how pro athletes are paid. And that starts now.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. This show covers technology and the economy intermittently. And sometimes I like to do stories about sustainable fishing. Of course, I don't fish myself, but I like the idea of having a robust, non-toxic ocean. Anyway, tech and economy. The crossover here for this segment is monopolies, antitrust endeavors in America. So let's look at Major League Baseball, which has a definitive legal exception to being a monopoly.
And we have this phenomenon of tanking around sports now, where teams are deliberately trying to lose. And I thought, how did we get here? And is there a model that works better? And that's what the book is about, basically how I look at the soccer model in Europe, where you basically play at the level you can afford, and that to me is the system that should be working in North America.
Iconic baseball writer Bill James, back in 1987, frustrated with MLB's labor stoppages and the decline of the minor leagues, wrote that the minors were an abomination. If you're selling a sport and the players don't care about winning, that's not a sport, that's a fraud, an exhibition masquerading as a contest. Mr. James imagined a better model and proposed that, as opposed to limiting the number of teams in MLB to protect parity, a free market was capable of sustaining many more franchises, hundreds even, if we would just allow it to sort out the level at which those cities might best compete. That is exactly how the soccer leagues in Europe are set up. Teams float between different leagues depending on their performance. Of course, the top leagues pay better, too. And that's the aha moment for our next guest, the author of Cap in Hand, How Salary Caps Are Killing Pro Sports and Why the Free Market Could Save Them. Okay, here we go.
My name is Bruce Dobigan, as in Robo and Flow Dobigan, and I am author and publisher of NotPublicBroadcaster.com, and I'm the author of Cap in Hand, How Salary Caps Are Killing Pro Sports and How the Free Market Could Save It.
All right, let's start there. Let's start with your newest one, the Cap in Hand, the Salary Caps book. What was the impetus for writing this one?
Well, I was watching, I think it was the Tigers and the Blue Jays, or maybe the Tigers and the Orioles. I was watching them play the other night, and I thought, neither of these teams is trying to win. Their organizations have told the fans, we're not winning this year. We're not winning next year, probably. Maybe even the year after that. Don't expect us to win. We're not cutting ticket prices, by the way, and we're certainly not going to reduce the cost of your cable subscription. But we're not even trying to win. And I thought, I mean, the players try, but they're not really very good players. I thought to myself, how did we get here? We had all of these labor lockouts to try to guarantee salary caps and to try to guarantee parity so everyone could have a chance to win and win a World Series or win a Super Bowl title. And we have this phenomenon of tanking around sports now where teams are deliberately trying to lose. And I thought, how did we get here? And is there a model that works better? And that's what the book is about, basically how I look at the soccer model in Europe where you basically play at the level you can afford. And that to me, is the system that should be working in North America.
So you're saying free market approach would be more robust and create better product on the field. Is that a fair summation?
I'm saying that, well, two things about it. First of all, yes, we have too many teams in each league for to have proper competition. Mm. Most of what salary caps have done is produced dilution of talent, where the talent is spread out over too many teams. We've had these cap casualties. We have great teams that are taken apart because the salary cap forces people, the teams to have to get rid of people. We have lousy management that's rewarded with Saquon Barkley's or Baker Mayfield's. So terrible management gets the best young player. I mean, all of this stuff is counterintuitive to creating great product. The soccer people have understood that if you concentrate the best players on the best teams, you're going to get a product that people are going to want to see, not just in your own backyard, but globally. And the other thing that the soccer people have realized is that the sports fan is not the sports fan of 30, 40 years ago who lived for the crest on the chest, who was loyal to the local team, and that was it. The younger generation of fan who is growing up today is fascinated by the great teams and the great stars. And it doesn't matter what league they're in. It doesn't matter what continent they're playing on. They want to see them. It's one of the reasons that soccer has become so popular in America these days, is kids want to see the best players in the best teams and competitions. And soccer delivers that to them.
I'm on a sports talk station as well as a news station, as well as having my show. And so I just did a quick hot take poll on the 3 acres that I work with in the morning show on the sports station. And one of them said, I was heartened to hear you say that, because she said that I would like to see players be able to stay with one team and go into the hall with one team, that kind of thing. And we're all steam heads, so I'm kind of staying towards baseball, but I know there are differences. Another anchor told me, he said, well, it creates parity. Okay, and I know that's something that we're going to touch on with you, but that's one of the hot takes. And I got the same thing about the luxury tax, about how it resets after 3 years. What if it was all luxury tax? Do you think that that's a better solution? Because the incentive is for the team to keep things more balanced, but they could go over if they wanted to, which I think is a free market decision.
It's the best of all of the systems operating in North America, but it still operates as a drag on the top. And baseball is the team where this year we had 8 to 10 teams at the start of the year basically say we're not going to compete this year. Yeah. So clearly the system isn't working. The fans are not being rewarded for their loyalty. They're not getting a break on their ticket prices either. They're not being rewarded for their loyalty in this case. And it just gets back to the fact that I don't know anybody who thought the parity was a great idea. Which teams do we remember? What are the great teams we remember? We remember the Yankee teams, the Celtic teams, the Montreal Canadiens teams, the ones that won and that were championship teams. Those are the ones that stick in our memory. I think when you look and see what's happening with the Golden State Warriors with Steph Curry and the Warriors, or you look at LeBron and the teams he's assembled in Miami and Cleveland, there was a real desire in the market for people to see, I call them super teams, but compelling teams that it's must-watch television. And to me, that's where the market's going. That's where the sports market has changed and where it's going. We don't want to see Sacramento versus New Orleans on a cold Tuesday in February. We want to see the best playing the best.
It's an interesting take. Now, I guess one way to push back on that would be, you're right about the legacy teams for sure, but then again, people like Kansas City, when they won the World Series, they knew that was a 3-year buildup for that team that happened a year earlier than expected, actually. Wouldn't that be something that would get more people interested in especially in the United States, where the underdog story sells pretty well?
You get in frequently, you get the underdog story, and I'm not saying you wouldn't have it. There's nothing to say that an owner in a medium or smaller market can't make up the difference between his market and the big markets out of his own pocket. But why are we operating this socialist system that tries to level a playing field for everybody and, of course, doesn't do that? Why are we doing that? And the argument in my book is that we don't get rid of teams. I don't want teams to lose their cities to lose their teams and their legacy. I want them to exist. But what the soccer people have understood is that you put teams in first division, second division, third division, according to where they can afford to play. And here's the other kicker why it works as well, is that for medium and small markets, if you're playing in a lower division, you still have your team, but your ticket price is not paying $350 to go and watch a game. You're not paying the cities are not put over a barrel to build an arena or a stadium that they can't afford because they have to compete with New York and Los Angeles and Chicago. Mm-hmm. You all of a sudden get economies of scale that work. But if you want to take a run at the first division and pay the difference between that, that's fine. I'm saying that, in fact, that the major leagues should expand and that they should have two or three divisions the way they do in soccer, and everybody has a chance. And also, the soccer people also have the relegation and promotion system. So at the end of the year here in sports in North America, all included, baseball, you have all these teams that are basically playing out the string, trying to lose on purpose so that they get a better draft pick. In soccer, if you lose at the end of the year, you get relegated. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, you have these fantastic TV spectacles at the end of the year where teams are struggling to avoid to be relegated. Plus, you've got teams that are being promoted. Just think of the excitement in a media market that's going up to the first division, having built a good team, and they're going to go up and play in the first division. I think it's a market that works. It's a model that works.
I think that's a very interesting model. And yes, I do. I follow soccer myself, so I understand where you're coming from. You did ask a question there.
Just to your point, let's just take the radio business. You have a radio station that runs its business terribly, that it does everything it can to lose listeners and lose advertisers. And then at the end of the year, everybody looks at them and says, you know what, we're going to give you the best broadcaster in the market, and he's right. Going to go and play for you. You know, that's the work. All we're doing is rewarding failure and incompetence.
You asked a rhetorical kind of question, and I'm going to not rhetoricalize it. I'm going to come back at it. You said, why are we using a socialist system, you know, and I say, and there's a 2011 paper I read last night that investigated salary caps and floors and revenue sharing, and quote, the effect on club profits, player salaries, and competitive balance crucially depends on the mix of these policy tools. I guess that would be true with your take on things, but you're saying if we transport the different model from the continent to the U.S., then we'd have a better product, period, and Am I right? I'm just trying to put that together because there is a substantial academic support of the claim of the salary caps and revenue sharing.
Yeah,
I think you're right. I think the concept of tanking was something that kind of just went off like a red during one of your answers, just kind of went off like a red flash for me. It was just kind of like, well, it's kind of like late stage capitalism in a way. People are starting to game a system how to take advantage of the existing rules rather than having to be dynamic and responsive.
Or even more late stage communism in the Soviet Union, how everybody was gaming it. I mean, it's very Soviet in the way people are manipulating the system. There's a very few people at the top who are riding around in limousines, and everybody else is crammed into little apartments along the way. So yeah, the analogies are both good.
Now I go watch the Dodgers win the World Series this year. That's my job right now.
Okay, man, enjoy. Bye.
That was Bruce Dobigan. He's an award-winning sportscaster and the author of the new book, Cap in Hand, How Salary Caps Are Killing Pro Sports and Why the Free Market Could Save Them. Due to a technical glitch, we lost the last few minutes of that interview, which is too bad because by then Bruce had flipped my thinking on salary caps. I was skeptical that having no cap would drive teams under, but I'm more likely to see things in the European Soccer League sense now. I don't think it had ever happened in the United States, but I think the thinking has changed nonetheless. For a link to Bruce's book and for all of our sourcing, including the pro-con salary cap article I mentioned in the interview, go to kgoradio.com and look for the notes for this week's show. Coming up after the break, it's Tinder for Business Loans.
So here's McGilla saying, I'm not a lender. I'm a very, very efficient, finely tuned machine designed to get the borrower to the right bank and get the bank to the right borrower as quickly as humanly possible.
A new service pairs likely lenders with likely borrowers, and it's like a dating app for finding the right bank for your needs. That's next, so please stick around. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.